Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Lexington.
Be a little weird. We're making our way to the SEC here.
I'm gonna see if we can keep it going.
I actually have been to Lexington.
Lexington's not that small a town. Yeah,
I didn't know where Auburn and Knoxville was, but I've actually been through Lexington.
I had a friend tell me that there's a second Auburn community in Lee County.
There's two Auburns.
That's just Auburn being Auburn.
There's two Boca Chitas and there's two Auburns.
Yeah. So, oh well, whatever. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's only a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. It's summer. It's prime grilling season. That means you need to take advantage. Fire up the grill and throw some steaks on there this weekend. You'll be happy. So will your family. And, of course, if you're not talking about the weekend, if you're talking about tonight or whenever, beef is the star of the show of any great weeknight meal. Easy to cook, delicious, and so versatile. You can put it in any recipe. If you're looking for those recipes, they're at msbeef.org. Ooh, I got a sneeze. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. This is a big sneeze coming. It's either going to go away or I'm going to really, everybody's going to be like, ah.
Do it into the mic.
I think I'm losing it. I think it's going away. All right, I think we're good. collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. You need to get new gear. You know, we're going to coming up on football season. Don't be wearing that same old raggedy Banner M polo that you bought, you know, prior to Dan Mullen's third season in Starkville. It's time to upgrade and get some new gear. There's so many great brand names selling Mississippi State gear right now, and they're all available at College Corner with the logos that we want, the interlocking, the state script, the M over S. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. If you are looking for a great dinner, if you've got a special occasion or you just want to create one, go have a dinner at Restaurant Tyler. The best steaks in the city of Starkville, fantastic pastas, vegetarian options if that's the way you want to go. From an appetizer perspective, is there a more famous appetizer in this city than the crawfish dip at Restaurant Tyler? We love the crawfish dip here. I mean, every time we go eat lunch there, Robbie, it is a struggle for me to not order a crawfish dip as well. It is.
I'm on the docket to go to Restaurant Tyler today and eat lunch with my parents.
Ah.
That is a possibility. I just found out about this.
Ah.
Well, didn't you say you had to go eat lunch?
No. I'm not. Yeah, I got my lunch.
You were getting there.
No. I was going to tell you.
You were getting there.
Hello. No jealousy. No hate, bro.
I saw it in your eyes. I saw those jealous eyes. I saw the lust in your eyes for Restaurant Tyler.
And when I look at you, I can't even look at you. It makes me sick to my stomach. Huh? If you wanted to come to me, go to Restaurant Tyler like a man, that would be fine. Anyway, Restaurant Tyler. One day, Robbie's just going to hit me with a belt. It's going to be great. That would be funny as hell, too. It's like, you know, Becky's like, no, don't do this. And you're just wailing on me.
For whatever reason, I walk into the living room this morning, and my daughter has discovered the Big Show, the Netflix series that's the Big Show.
I didn't know.
It's like a sitcom where the Big Show is.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
The Big Show. So I was kind of taken aback by that. And then they went on this WWE cruise, and Mark Henry was on it, Mick Foley was on it, and Rikishi. It was
It's a lot of
I was having
beef.
a fever dream watching this sitcom this morning.
Gotcha.
So
Yeah, that's a weird show. I don't know what to say about that.
it's
Well,
special.
I'm just saying, if for Halloween, if you want to go as the Mega Powers, I will dye my hair blonde. I'll go as Hogan. You can be Savage, and Becky could be Miss Elizabeth.
I'm not involving my wife in this,
I just
but
thought
we can go with the Mega Powers.
You're Savage and I'm Hogan.
Yeah, and you got to do the Hulk Hogan NWO beard, like
Oh, you want
with the
the
blonde.
so blonde here,
Yeah, the
but the
blonde
rest of
handlebar
oh
with everything
okay
else
the do
dark.
rag.
Yeah.
Well, you know me, Gene.
I always incorporated the black beard with the spray paint. Like, I just assumed he just spray
He
painted
spray
his beard.
painted it before they went out there. Yeah,
Yeah.
that probably is what happened. All
Yeah.
right. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide to show you not only are they going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they help you prepare for the future. And now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need them on your schedule. You don't need to be waiting around. You need a bank that's going to provide a different level of service. That's what you're going to get every single time at PriorityOneBank.com. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Quick reminder that this is the last podcast of the week because today, as you're listening on Thursday, I will be headed towards Hernando, Mississippi to the Palmer Home for Children for our annual Radiothon. And allow me at this moment to take a moment of your time, I beseech of you, to ask for any kind of help you can give to the good folks at Palmer Home. Again, they work 100% off of our donations, they accept no government money whatsoever, and they are making a real positive impact in the lives of a lot of great kids here in our state. And you can help by making a donation. We'll have the links on every potential SuperTalk social media site. Obviously, I'm going to tweet out something as well. My donation, every year I try to make my donation around something Mississippi State did to Ole Miss. Some years I have more success with that than others, but I'm going to donate $150 this year, $10 for every strikeout that Evan Cieri had against the Rebels. Here at Duty Noble Field. That's going to be my donation this year. So
No.
anything you can give, $5, $10, I don't care. If you can make a small donation, I would really, really appreciate it. And they would obviously really, really appreciate it. Of course, Robbie, there will be some scandalous photos coming out of today.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Are you that you're doing the thing?
I'm doing the thing. I lost this year's.
Richard remembered it.
If you want to could put the camera on me, look me in the eye. If Chris Lemonis could have held a 3-run lead in the ninth inning down in Jackson, I wouldn't be having these problems.
Oh, that would have taken care of it?
I would have won.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I would have won. I
Man.
lost 17 to 14. The baseball game was worth 2 points, so I would have won 16 to 15. Yeah, look, let's be honest. What got me is the Egg Bowl. The Egg Bowl is worth 5 points. I mean,
Yeah.
I had no shot there. And,
I think that you should.
you know what else hurt me too? You know what else killed me? Was State and Ole Miss playing that extra women's basketball game in the SEC tournament. If that game
Yeah.
doesn't happen, we finish tied. And
Yeah.
then it could have just been trial by combat, and obviously I would have won.
I think that you should this year for the Palmer Home Athon, you should use the score from the first basketball game, which was 84 to 81, and you should give $8,481 to the Palmer Home.
If Chris
That's
Jans is
only
listening,
fair.
that feels like more of a donation he should make. I'll be honest with you.
And he could probably afford it.
He could swing that. So anything you guys can do to help, I would really, really appreciate it. And obviously they would as well. All right, it's time to talk some sports. We've got an opponent preview later, but none of those no good T-sips could join us on the show this week. I'm sure Sotek's dog isn't here. He's pointing at the screen right now. He's like, I told you they're no good.
I knew it.
I couldn't get a Texas guy on. So we'll just talk about the Longhorns and that game in particular a
Are
little
they
later in the show.
scared?
But if you're scared, say you're scared. But let's talk about running backs. That's because we were going to do a positional breakdown today. True or false? If every position group State had was as good as its running back room, this would be a team on the cusp of college football playoff contention.
Yeah, I think that's
I think that's
accurate.
fair.
You got
This is the
three.
best
You
room.
basically have a three deep that you. I mean, you could go potentially four deep at running back and feel good about the talent you have there. And then you have the two freshmen that are really talented. Yeah, if you had guys that talented across the board, this is definitely a college football playoff team, I think. Somebody's going to clip that, like. Talking about Mississippi State, this is definitely a college football playoff team. Like I'm saying that.
Yes, that will be aggregated, and then you'll be aggravated. So,
Yes.
aggregation leads to
That would be
aggravation. Yeah.
a good clip for my guys over at SEC Unfiltered. Last year they got me in trouble. Actually, 2 years in a row they got me in
What
trouble.
did you say?
Well, 2 years ago I said, it wouldn't surprise me if the Egg Bowl was competitive because like I could see State winning that game because it's the Egg Bowl and it's played in Starkville. Well, like they clipped that part out and all the Ole Miss fans called me a homer. And then last year,
Oh,
or
by the
this,
way, that game was competitive.
it was competitive. And then Chris Lemonis got upset because I said he really needed to host this year to like feel safe. And ding, ding, ding! Surprise, surprise! I was correct, but. Yeah, apparently he got upset about that. Which it, actually, what I wasn't saying he was going to be fired if he didn't host. I was asked like, what's the pulse of the fan base? And I said they're not going to be happy if he doesn't host.
What I'm hearing, Robbie, is this. This is what I'm hearing when you talk. You said that the Egg Bowl would be competitive, and it was. You
Yes.
said that Chris Lemonis is going to be in trouble if he didn't host, and he was. Now you're saying Mississippi State could definitely be a college football playoff contender. Perhaps we have spoken it into existence.
Speaking it into existence, maybe we should clip this out.
Again, going back to
So
our
my
guy's
guys,
sensitive
SEC
dog,
Unfiltered, Chris Phillips, my guys.
if that happens, I'm going to have to eat some crow. That's for another day. You're correct in that State has three guys that if it was like an older school situation and you're like, yeah, you got your feature back and a couple of backups, any one of these guys I would feel pretty comfortable with. But the fact that you can play all three of them, and the fact that you have a guy in Jeff Lebby who has shown that he knows how to balance carries and keep everybody happy and utilize different running backs the way he did at Ole Miss. It really is something. You think about most times when a team leads a conference in rushing. They're doing it because they have a hoss, right? They've got one guy who just rushes for 1,400 yards, and then everybody else just kind of picks him up a little bit. In 2021 with Ole Miss, you had four quality runners. Now, one of those was Corral, and that's something, we have to talk about in that the running back room is going to have to pick up the quarterback position here. From a running perspective, I don't expect Shapen to be a 600-700-yard rusher this year. But Jerrion Ealy, who we agreed earlier was a bust, Snoop
We did
Connor,
not agree on
we
that.
agreed, Snoop Connor, and then the true freshman at the time, Henry Parrish, they were all dangerous in their own way. They were all big play running backs. How many, 40, 50-yard runs did all of those guys have that year? And they were all happy and content in the rotation. That to me is the biggest. If you said, what are you most excited about for Mississippi State this year? What gives you the most confidence is that this is a running back room that is as good as anybody else in the SEC and has talent and can be productive from day one.
Yeah, I think you can legitimately say this is a very competitive running back room with the rest of the conference. When you look at the production that the guys have that are returning, you have Davon Booth, who I think that's the wild card of the whole deal is he has a full season under his belt and a spring and now going to have another training camp. How much better was he late in the season than he was when he first got here? I think that was a tremendous like pull to be able to get him back for another year. They should be kissing Diego Pavia's feet to have Davon Booth back in the saddle here. But then you have a guy that was one of the best group of five running backs in the country last year, arguably the top running back in the transfer portal, and Fluff Bothwell. That was a huge win for Mississippi State to get him here. And then I don't think you can discount a guy like Johnny Daniels and what he can do in between the tackles. I thought he was really good last year. Xavier Gayton might be the most talented running back in the entire crew.
We
So
don't talk about that guy enough, in my opinion.
don't.
We really
He's
don't.
a guy that is, if he gets a seam, he is going to take it to the house. That's just how it's going to be. But like I look at those first three games, and I kind of take away the Georgia game in the middle because you're playing a team that's just really good defensively. But you had 24 yards against Arizona State and 66 against Toledo. You had 203 against Eastern Kentucky, but that's Eastern Kentucky. So the rushing game was virtually non-existent early last year. I think that had a lot to do with Mississippi State's inability to really light up the scoreboard offensively because they scored 17 points against Toledo. They had three, I think, against Arizona State at halftime. So, and you dig yourself in a hole there. But the when you get crossover to the Georgia game, because you didn't really, you had 240 yards against Florida for 56 carries and 50 carries for 150 against Texas. So once you got past Georgia, you had 125 yards against A&M, 162 against Arkansas, 241 against UMass, 179 against Tennessee, 147 against Missouri. That was a decent stretch there. Ole Miss had the best defensive line in the country. And you averaged basically a yard a carry against them. So that is what it is. But for the most part, your rushing attack late last year had begun to pick up a little bit of steam. I think there's potential for the offensive line to be better. That's going to help the running game. But just having the stable of running backs that they have, and you're going to have the opportunity to bring them in and out, nobody's going to be overloaded with carries. I think this has the potential to be a significantly better group this year, and the production's going to be a lot higher. Davon Booth and Johnny Daniels behind a line that kind of struggled, they averaged 5 yards a rush. That'll get it done. I mean, you have your two running backs averaging 5 yards a carry. You're getting a first down every two rushes. That's what you're looking for. You draw
Pretty
the
good, yeah.
defense in, you hit a big play.
You look at Bothwell's stats a season ago, only 111 carries. So you're talking about a guy who's, put up big numbers and relatively not a lot of tread coming off the tires there. State returns two of the top 30 rushers in the SEC last year. Devon Booth was number nine. Johnny Daniels was down at 28th. But I mean, Daniels only had 108 carries for 540 yards, 5 yards a carry. You mentioned Booth, 5 yards a carry. You mentioned, the math checks out, as you were just saying there. Bothwell, 7.5 yards a carry. I know the level of competition is different, but this is a group that, as you said, the early season struggles, even in the Eastern Kentucky game, they didn't run the football as effectively as you thought they would against an FCS team. And I remember us talking about that after the game, on this podcast, like, it didn't look as dominant on the line of scrimmage as we wanted on either side. And, defensively, it became what it became. But the lack of running game is the reason you lose to Arizona State. As bad as they played defensively in that game, the fact that they could not run the football at all is what cost them the game. That's the one game of the year where I'm willing to put the blame on the offense. Everything else, I'll throw to the defense. But the Toledo game is kind of the same way. Now, you give up 41 points to a mediocre MAC team. I'll put that on the defense. But they couldn't run the football against a MAC team. Obviously, it goes hand in hand. Your running game is only going to be as good as your offensive line. And what we saw from the offensive line in the spring game may not give you a ton of hope. But as we all know, Phil Loadholt went out in the spring portal, in the second spring portal window, and added some new players to this roster and added some guys who at the very least are going to be contributors. If you have confidence in Phil Loadholt to get this offensive line going the right way, then you should have extreme confidence in this running back room. I think Booth can be close to 1,000 yards this year. Bothwell could be, a 600-700 yard guy. Daniels could be right where he was maybe a year ago at 500. And if that's the case, if I can get those three guys, I didn't mention Gayton. I didn't mention Colin Wilson either, who's a guy that that we've heard a lot of coming out of the spring, that he just His name just kept popping up of like, yeah, he looked really good in practice today. He made a big play in practice today. But if I can, from my top three guys, if I'm going to get 2,100 yards rushing, I'm going to be in a really, really good spot offensively this year. That would be almost 500 more yards rushing than you had a season ago. And that's, you know, last year you didn't have much from the quarterback run position as far as the running game goes anyway. I think Chapin can contribute a couple of hundred yards. I'm hopeful for that. But those three guys, I really do feel like Mississippi State is going to be, when I say State's going to be a top half of the conference team in terms of total offense, in rushing offense, I think they're going to be closer to top five. The Levy offense creates mismatches in the running game, and he showed in the second half of the season that they were able to take advantage of that.
Yeah, and one thing that I think that this team can do a lot better this year is finishing drives with the run game and extending drives with the run game. How many times did we see last year State would get in the red zone and they couldn't punch it in? Mm-hmm. Or they'd have third or fourth and short, couldn't get the first down. I think they're going to have a lot more meat up front. I think it's going to be a bigger offensive line. If you look at the guys that Phil Loadholt was targeting in the transfer portal and some of the guys he's targeting too in high school recruiting, they're just bigger, girthier guys. Like this line's going to be – even the tackles are going to be bigger long-term, I think, with Phil Loadholt. So I think it's going to be a line that's built to run the football a little more than what it was last year. And when you have guys like Fluff, who that's kind of what he does, is he finishes those possessions, he extends those possessions, that's going to make this offense a lot more efficient than it was a year ago. Last year, State was, let's see, 11th in the SEC in red zone.
Yeah.
Offense. So 81%, and they had, you know, they had to settle for field goals eight times, and they had six turnovers.
Yeah.
So in the six turnovers,
Egg Bowl comes to mind immediately.
Yeah.
When you think about that, Egg Bowl, the Florida game,
Florida,
A&M, didn't they have one where they got stopped?
I think they had a possession against Toledo. They got stopped.
Yeah.
But the Florida game, you had a chance to shift that game considerably. It was either right at the end of the third quarter or going into the fourth. I can't remember. And you're going in to score with a chance to cut that thing, I think, to a touchdown, and you can't score. And they end up going down and scoring right after that. That's just a killer. That's a killer for you. And we saw that several times last year for Mississippi State. They just could not finish drives. I think that this team's going to be more efficient when they get inside the five-yard line, being able to extend drives. There was another possession. Was it the one whenever Cedo Traore had a touchdown call back or something? Like, they just could not punch it in.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he ended up scoring on that, I think. I could be wrong.
He had that. He had the penalty where, like, threw the ball into the stands and, like, took away – it either took away a touchdown or like his touchdown.
They may have settled for a field goal, yeah.
Anyway, I think State should be better in the red zone this year, in large part thanks to the run game. They should be able to finish their possessions.
I think that's going to be the case. I think this team is going to be a good running team. And the other thing about this running game that, you know, from a year ago is the explosive plays. This isn't a 3 yards in a cloud of dust kind of offense. You mentioned the yards per carry for Booth and for Daniels, Bothwell, high yards per carry at South Alabama. This is an offense that generates 20, 30, 40-yard runs. And these are, you know, Booth has certainly got some explosiveness. We'll see about Bothwell. Daniels is not the most explosive runner, but when he gets in the open field, he can do plenty. Gaten is the guy I want to see in the open field. That's the guy with the extra the boost, the little turbo burst that he can put into play. Gaten is one of the most interesting and intriguing players on this roster. I feel like there's a lot of talent there. I want to see how many reps he ends up getting this year, because I really feel like that's a guy that either he'll figure it out here at Mississippi State, or he'll go to the portal and we'll look up in a year and be like, how did this guy not get on the field?
Yeah, for sure. I like him a lot. Is there any doubt that Anthony Tucker is doing the best?
Yeah, I want to talk about that.
That's positional group than anybody else in the roster.
When Tucker was hired, that was kind of like a, okay, you know, who is this guy?
Out of everybody hired, especially on
Yeah.
offense, he might have been the most meh guy for this fan base.
And then when we got the chance to talk to him, you know, Lebby does with the assistants. We only get to talk to him once a year. And it was kind of like a, you know, an assembly line. One guy would go in, one guy would come out. Talking to Tucker, I was like, this is like, he's not a very inspiring, fiery guy. You know, he was very calm, very reserved. And I was just like, all right, I don't know. All this guy has done since he got here was A, he made his position group better throughout the season, which that's coaching to me. When things get better throughout the season, that's coaching. He got two quality running backs in his last class. Then he went out and got the best transfer running back that was available. And he's got, I don't really give a crap what the recruiting rankings are. He's got the best running back in Mississippi committed to him right now.
And has
And
stayed committed despite other
he
teams
stayed
coming back.
committed. So yeah, Anthony Tucker is like an unsung hero of this team. You know, as much as you can be when you're talking about a 2-10 football team, Tucker is a really good coach. He's done a great job at Mississippi State. He deserves a ton of credit.
He has. And it's not just like a Lebby, like Lebby's carrying the weight there as the offensive guy.
Right.
You talk to those running backs, they rave about Anthony Tucker.
Yeah.
So he's done a fantastic job. There is not a single bad word you can say about him. And really, if you look at the high school class right now, I don't think it's blowing anybody away, but the offense is okay. Like, if you look at what they've done offensively, there's not a whole lot of complaints. They could be better at certain spots, but they've taken care of just about every position, and they've got other players coming on offense that should be pretty good. It's really the defense right now that they've got to get fixed. I like what they've done offensively. I think they're going to be good offensively with Jeff Lebby here. The defense is probably going to be what determines his stay here.
Yeah, I
And,
agree.
or it's going to be how good can the offense be to overcome the defense? Because I think that's a possibility too. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't think that this defense has to be otherworldly good for Mississippi State to be competitive in this league. I think it's probably the difference between whether or not they can be a top 25 team and then pushing for a playoff. But for this team to kind of get back on track, you know, I think that the defense has to be better. It doesn't have to be exceptional.
Right.
Offense is probably going to be what's going to have to carry this program under Jeff Lebby, at least with what he's got right now.
I feel like we're right back where we were this time a year ago. We're like, they just got to win shootouts and
Well, that's kind of been my approach, has been like this season needs to be what we thought last year was going to be. And it's not kicking the can down the road. It's just like you have your eyes open to the situation that Mississippi State is in and was in whenever Jeff Lebby got here. So I'm kind of looking at this year as last year's year zero and this year one. And if he can't show that, you know, the offense is going to be really exciting and they're going to compete and they just need a few more players, they need to make some tweaks here and there. If you can't show that, then that's going to be a problem. So I think this
100%
year kind of needs to be that.
agree with everything you just said. So, all right, let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. I'll be at the Older Brother about an hour from now. Looking forward to it. And if you guys want to enjoy a great meal in the city of Starkville, it's not hard to do. You just got to head to the Cotton District, and you got two fantastic options sitting right there on top of each other. The smoked Southern soul food of Two Brothers, the fancy sandwiches of the Older Brother. Two places that are very unique to Starkville, two places that we both love, two places that you will love if you go there. Go check them out. If you're next time you're in Starkville, head to the Cotton District, Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years. When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need any kind of service, hey, guess what? It's the same number. You talk to the same people. It's not, hey, here's the 1-800 number, and hey, you're going to be on hold for 45 minutes, and hey, your call is so important to us. That's why you're sitting there in queue number 46, and so on and so forth. It's none of that. It's a Mississippi business, which means they can take care of you a lot of times the exact same day that you call them. Easy peasy. Make it happen for yourself. Advantage Business Systems, ZZ. I don't know. I don't know. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out if Edge Businesses will help your business do business. When you need Mississippi State gear, the place to go is Maroon & Co. If you're going to be in Starkville, Maroon & Co. has the biggest and best selection you can find. If you're not going to be here, there's always a website at maroonandco.com. Everything you're looking for, maroon and white, Maroon & Co. has it, and they also have our promo code to save you some money. Thunder 15 takes 15% off the price on any regular price item. Some exclusions do apply. What are those exclusions? I don't know. You know,
but you have to say them just to make sure.
It's kind of like some other things, you know, it's like, you know, there were exclusions, but now there's not exclusions. You know what
I'm
saying?
There's very few exclusions. We'll just say that.
Why are we talking about exclusions? There's no exclusions.
You know what's been super popular at Maroon & Company? I went in there the other day looking for it.
Yeah.
The Bottomland Mississippi State shirts. So it's the camo shirts that they'll have interlocking on them or the state script or whatever. You know, we had the Dogs Win Again shirt that came out. Like, that's like, those shirts have become really, really popular. They were sold out the other day when I went in there. So I need Wyatt to get me one of those shirts back on the rack so I can get it. The only one they had, I think, was like a 3X.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get into that at this point?
I could, yeah.
Would you rock a camo shirt?
That's not really my look, but
camo's
I don't know.
Look.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll take it for a test drive. Sure.
I could put on a few more pounds and put it on.
This trip to Restaurant Tyler is a good start for you. There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
July 4th already got me a head start.
That being said, you might sweat off some pounds this weekend in the yard if you're out there mowing grass. Let me make it a little easier for you. You need to talk to our friends at Scruggs, and they'll take care of you with fantastic John Deere deals. They've got incredible John Deere deals all over the place, and great financing is available. Look, if you work around your house, I'm talking about in the yard, in the garden, if you got projects in the house itself, you want to cook out, or heck, if you're just going to the lake for some fishing, everything I just said, you can buy something at Scruggs that makes your day better. So do that. Head over to our friends at Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden in Saltillo to get it taken care of. All right. A little weird to do an opponent preview when we don't have an interview, but that is what it is. If we did have an interview, it would be brought to you by our good friends over at Alora Modern Wellness. So since and there's no interview, we'll just talk about them right now. Alora Modern Wellness. Guys, I say it all the time, you know, as somebody who is working and trying to stay in shape and trying to get into shape, you know, it's hard. It's hard. And you put a lot of strain on the body. You've got to recuperate. You've got to recover. That's what Alora Modern Wellness provides for you. If you have muscle problems, you've got pain, anything like that, go talk to Rich Lopez. Tell him what's bothering you and let him set up a plan for you that's going to put you in a much better frame of mind mentally and a much better feeling physically. Every time I walk in to Alora Modern Wellness and then I walk out, I feel better walking out than I walked in. And that's all you can really ask for with something like this. I told him today, I was like, I got to do SEC Media Days this week, but I will probably be in there to freeze my butt off with you in a couple of weeks because I'm going to get another cryotherapy session because I feel better after I do them. So AloraModernWellness.com is the website. You can see all their services. You can book right there online. Alora Modern Wellness brings you all of our interviews that we don't have this week. But there we go. Texas Longhorns. Historic kind of game, right? The fourth Manning to play at Davis-Wade Stadium. So Archie played here. Oh, it's either 68 or you know what comes after that, don't you?
You don't even want to utter those.
I don't want to say it. You may not say it. I want to double check the year. 60. It was 69. You have to say it.
How did that go?
I didn't go well for State. They lost.
It was not nice.
48-22 was the final score in that one. Peyton Manning, 1994, with Tennessee. He didn't start the game. Do you know who started the game?
Oh gosh, Todd Hill.
That's right, Major League Baseball Hall of Famer.
My mind just completely went blank, and I would have.
Todd Helton, that is correct.
Any other time,
win Yeah.
I would have been able to spit that out.
Mississippi State gets the win there, 24-21. Eli Manning played here twice. 2001, State gets the win, 36-28. And in 2003, in Jackie Sherrill's final game, Eli gets the win with the Rebels, 31-0. So Arch will be the fourth, you know, the fourth of this lineage of Mannings. There are other Mannings. There's going to be a Manning on State's roster this year.
I
will
sat
laugh
through every
really second. Hard.
I sat through what? Every second of that 0-3 game.
I did too. I wanted to make sure that Jackie left. I was like,
that was torture.
I got to see him. I got to see him go. I was not a Jackie fan at that moment. You know, total non sequitur. But I was thinking about this the other day. You know, when Jackie left, there was a lot of like, this guy, he tanked us. He tanked this program so bad. And then by the time Mullen took over, we were like, bring Jackie back. We got to have Jackie, right? I think that's going to be the case with Lemonis. I think, like, right now, the feelings are very raw. But in 2031, when they want to do a 10-year reunion, if they bring Lemonis back, he gets a big ovation.
Well, I think you have to. The guy actually brought you something that you've never had before.
Yeah,
and
agreed.
Again, we've had that conversation before. Like, you cannot take that away from Chris Lemonis.
You should not either.
He was the leader of the program. He doesn't just get kicked to the curb and you don't give him any kind of recognition on that. It's kind of like the people that they'll talk about how bad Mark Keenum is, and while also in the same breath talking about how great Zach Selman is. Well, if we're going to talk about Mark Keenum having his hands and everything in athletics, he's got to get credit for hiring Zach Selman, right? I mean, you would think Zach Selman gets kind of the same treatment from some people too. So,
well, here's the truth of the matter, and then we'll get back to Texas. State fans are just never happy.
They really aren't.
It's just never.
I mean, I think there are a lot that are, but the online sector,
it's
pretty
rough.
It just seems like they're always upset.
Pretty rough. So,
I don't understand it. But one thing that reminded me of, like, Jackie there with the 0-3 season ending. Do you remember when the season ended and Jackie would get on the PA? Am I misremembering this, that he got on the PA and he talked about his seniors?
I don't remember that.
Like, I'm almost certain that I'm walking to the car and I can hear Jackie's voice over the speakers talking about his senior class.
Well, not in 03, because he went straight into the locker room. I remember that very clearly.
But no, like, I think it was like there was some kind of setup or something.
They might have done, like, you know, because senior day, you didn't have a big Jumbotron back then. So maybe they did something like that. I don't recall it, though.
I don't know. For whatever reason, that just popped back in my mind. I'm trying to make sure I'm not crazy about that, because I remember it. I'm certain I remember it after the BYU game in 01, and then after the Ole Miss game in 03. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. All right, back to Texas. Obviously, it all starts with Arch Manning, one of the top quarterback. You know, he's still a prospect, in my opinion, right? This is not a guy that I have – so much tape on that I'm just going to say he's one of the best quarterbacks in the nation. He's one of the best quarterback prospects in the nation. He might be the best quarterback in the prospect in the nation. He's a guy that, you know, the ceiling is very, very high and the floor appears to be very, very low on him. He brings back a 1,000-yard rusher in Trey Wisner. When I misspoke yesterday. Trey Wisner actually the leading returning rusher in the SEC. Pavia is the second leading returning rusher in the SEC.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is, though. Brings back a couple of quality receivers in DeAndre Moore and Ryan Wingo. On the offensive line, you've got to replace Kelvin Banks, who was the Saints' number one draft pick. I think it was the ninth pick in the draft. It was an All-American. You have some returning starters there in the middle at center and at guard. But by and large, you know, the difference is these are guys that were recruited by Texas. They're not transfers. They've been in the system. They've been coached up. They've been, you know, with this program this whole time. It's just their time to take over. Texas, this is kind of true with Georgia and with Alabama to a certain extent too, is they're kind of what college football used to be, right? You recruit a guy and he sits on the bench for a couple years and then it's his time. And that's where Texas is with a lot of their offensive linemen. Defensive line, kind of the same thing. They did bring in some transfers there. The bottom line is this is a team that has recruited at an elite level. They have an elite head coach. Their schedule is very easy. They're going to be a good football team. When they come to Starkville, the chances of them having more than one loss are very low when you get right to it. I mean, Ohio State, that's definitely one they could lose, right? But then San Jose State, UTEP, Sam Houston, at Florida, Oklahoma, at Kentucky, they're probably winning all of those games. So this is a team that's going to be rolling in the top five when the time they get to Starkville. The question becomes more about what is Mississippi State in this situation? Is Mississippi State at this point a team that, you know, they found a way to win their non-conference games and they're trying to, you know, find a way to get be bowl eligible? Or has the season gone south? You know, that's kind of where they should be when Texas comes to town.
So you're saying you don't think they're going to be 8-4?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I don't think either of these teams is going to be 8-4.
No, they're not. Here's the thing, and like the thing that kind of debunks that whole like narrative that they lost all these players and this and that. This was the number one recruiting class in the country last year. So, yes, they are losing players, but that's kind of what Alabama and Georgia and those teams did too. They lost players and they had the next crew up. When you're recruiting at an elite level and you're kind of in the blue chip index of things, like you don't have to attack the transfer portal like Mississippi State and Ole Miss and these teams do. You retain a lot of the players for multiple years, and you're replacing the ones that you lose with five-star prospects. So that's kind of where Steve Sarkisian is. He's recruiting at an elite level. He's coaching at a very, very high level too. And this team's going to be right back in the mix for the playoffs. That hurts for a lot of people that are living in the state of Texas and they hate Texas. But it's just the fact of the matter. This is going to be an elite roster coached by a – pretty much an elite staff. Steve Sarkisian is one of the best offensive minds in college football, and that's not even arguable at this point. And they have a quarterback with, quite frankly, one of the best pedigrees that you can have that looks the part and acts the part of a top-of-the-line quarterback. So you couple all that with the fact that the schedule just, quite frankly, stinks, and this is going to be a team that's going to be right back in the mix. You have Ohio State and Georgia were the two teams that we looked at that were potential losses. I mean, I can't really argue a whole lot of other teams on that schedule.
Yeah,
it just says what it is.
It's an easy schedule. So what their game at Mississippi State, you know, the historical part with the Arch Manning thing is fun. I thought State last year in that game, and that was Van Buren's first start. Remember, and to his credit, I felt like he played okay in that game. I thought he played with confidence. I thought Jeff Lebby's game plan, it was very conservative, but it was the right game plan. He didn't his team stayed in the game probably longer than they should have against
Texas. And what they did is they played like ball control.
Yes.
You know, the first possession they didn't score. They had a turnover on downs, but it was a lengthy possession. And Texas was not able to get a whole lot of momentum in that game offensively. Now, they did kind of get a hold of it in the second half.
Right.
So I really think that the game plan was a good one. I thought they executed it fairly well. They just couldn't score.
And I think if going back to what we talked about in the first part of the show, Robbie, if State is better running the football this year, then they have an opportunity here to hang around in this game. You can't make the call of an upset here on July 9th when we're talking about a team that went 2-10 a season ago versus a team that played in the college football playoff and won 11 games. You can't make that call. It's just about, can you hang around? Let me get a little Teddy KGB. We're hanging around. Kids got alligator blood. If you can do that, then going to the fourth quarter and you're only down, you know, 10, maybe even 14, but you got the ball, you got a little momentum. You can make it interesting. And that's, to me, this team this season is about. You talked about it earlier. It's just about making the games more competitive. You know, you lost this game last year, what, 38-13? This year, lose 38-27. If you did that, I think we're all just like, they play better. You know, and if you can lose that game by that margin, that gives me a lot of confidence that you can win some other games, to be honest with you. So that game with Texas, it's not overly interesting. It's a game that Mississippi State's got to try to get through, but it's a game that Mississippi State needs to show improvement in. We'll just put it that way. You know, I look at Georgia and it's like, hey, repeat that performance that you had a season ago.
Yeah,
but
that was
Texas,
a very winnable game if the defense
winnable.
Could get one stop, you know.
But this game is one where he's like, you got to look at it and go, you got to play better than you played a season ago. So,
yeah.
All right, we're out for the week. Back to, next time we talk, Robin, we'll work out the logistics. We'll do a pod before I leave for Atlanta, but then we'll do a pod. Robbie will be there a couple days as well. We'll figure it all out.
We should be able to do Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll have podcasts. Don't worry about that. And of course, our media days coverage on Sports Talk Mississippi will be of the highest caliber. We'll have everybody on there that you want to talk to. Looking forward to heading to Atlanta for, as I always call it, the first day of school. We get to talk to all our old friends that we haven't seen in quite some time. All right, guys, have a great weekend.
Except for John Sokoloff.
We talk to him all the time.
Yeah, but we won't get to see him in person. So
I'll see him.
Well, I won't. Okay,
I'll take a
picture. I won't.
Well, I will. I will pass along any message you want me to send to him.
Give him this message for me.
Yeah. Okay, you got it. No problem. All right. Talk to you guys again soon. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.